Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Most of us have lifetime mates with whom to enjoy sexual intimacy, but straying from that mate is a deadly sin, expressly forbidden by one of the Ten Commandments. Today, we learn about the high price of adultery. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments as he brings part two of Living with Your Passions, Avoiding Adultery. We're in Proverbs 5:21, learning that adulterers try to hide their sins.
It says in chapter 5, verse 21 of Proverbs, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all of his paths." You know, I think of all the things that couples have done to hide their sin. The elaborate plans that they make that they might not be found out. They have had telephones tapped, and they've had this and that, and their secret locations, and leaving in different directions and going in different cars and all that thing, because they want to say, we want to hide our sin from the eyes of men. But notice what the text says. The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all of his paths. God sees. And therefore, you can't escape the inner deadening and defilement. The text says it goes down to Sheol, down to the grave. I remember a young woman who was 29 years old who came to me, and she said that she was single and a virgin until the age of 29, and then she became mad at God. You know, if you're 29 and unmarried, that's the time when you begin to think, here I am saving myself for somebody, and God isn't giving me a husband. I'll show him a thing or two. This young woman had a relationship with a man she didn't even respect, and it's very interesting. She said these words to me. She said, you know, when it was all over, it was almost as if, and she said, Pastor, believe me, this wasn't a voice inside of me. It seemed as if there was a voice outside of me that said, ha, 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 now you're defiled. Now you're defiled. Probably the voice of a demon. Now, of course, I was able to explain to that young woman that, of course, there is forgiveness in Christ, and it doesn't mean the end of the world. Immorality isn't the unpardonable sin. But isn't it interesting that if there's anything that Satan wants to do in our lives to cause inner defilement, oftentimes it has to do with that realm of sexuality, that the conscience that bothers us in the most intimate of all relationships, and there's been a violation of the Word of God. And there is that inner destruction. You know, it's interesting. David said, my sin was ever before me, ever before me. I thought of it when I woke up in the morning. I thought of it in the evening. I thought of it at noon. I thought of it when the telephone rang. I thought of it when a friend showed up at the door. I wondered whether or not he knew. And there are people who have been involved in immorality who say that they are sitting in church singing the songs of Zion, and in what they want to be a most holy moment, all those thoughts come washing over the mind. There's an inner destruction, an inner defilement is one of the consequences. But then the other consequence is the outer destruction. The outer destruction. And that's when the whole thing blows up and it gets found out and the truth becomes known. That's what happens. And then the rejection and the hurt is beyond belief, because the scriptures indicate that you can take physical illness, but the wounded spirit, who can bear? And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 29, so is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. The hurt of the person rejected and all of the consequences are as bitter as wormwood, the Bible says. I think of a friend involved in immorality who said that he had often prayed that he would die. Prayed that when he'd go to bed at night, he wouldn't wake up in the morning. The hurt, the devastation to his wife and his family. Unbelievable. Now, God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And in the New Testament, it says that whoremongers and adulterers, referring to all forms of immorality, whether you're single or married, God will judge. God will judge. And it can't be overlooked because it happens to be hidden, no matter how skillfully and brilliantly it is hidden. One day I was on a talk show in Canada, you know, one of those call-in programs where you get lots of interesting questions. And I received a phone call from someone who said this. Now, they said, Mr. Lutzer. Boy, when somebody says that, I know I'm in trouble. They said, what would you say in the case of a man who's married to a woman and either because of some accident or some physical disability, she's in the wheelchair for the rest of her life? Are you really telling me that even that man can't have an affair on the side? Asked in such a way as if to say, can you really be that stupid, Mr. Lutzer, as to say no to that? You know, we're living in a day and age when it seems as if our passions rule us, right? A man has a need, he's got to fulfill it. He can't be true to a marriage commitment just because he can't have his sexual needs fulfilled in a certain way. The obvious answer to that is, of course, a man like that should be true to his wife. Because if you make an exception for him, then what about those who are single? What about the widows? What about all the divorced people? Don't they have sexual desires too? Does God's word only apply in certain situations? All of the things that I've said about the consequences, all of the things that we have said about violating all of the commandments apply to every single situation. Your passions lie when they tell you they must be fulfilled, regardless of what God's word says. You know what God says about marriage? He says that the relationship in marriage is so special. And I'm so sorry that my message today is negative, because the commandments are rather negative. You know, people talk about the power of positive thinking. I want to preach a message entitled The Power of Negative Thinking, frankly. Tired of positive thinking. Now, the point is, speaking more positively. Sure, we throw it in for extra measure. God says that the marriage relationship is so special, it is so sacred, that there is no condition under which it should ever be violated. Because it's special, that's why. It's not just that God wants to rain on our parade. You know what it's like doing? When you commit adultery, it's like burning down a beautiful cathedral because you want to fry an egg because you happen to be hungry. You're demolishing something that God says is special, all because you think that there are some needs that have got to be fulfilled. The Bible says they don't have to be. There are all kinds of people who are living in prison today for the cause of Jesus Christ who do not have any sexual intimacy at all, and they are living. See, we are living in a society today where everybody says, well, if it's really a meaningful relationship and if it feels good, then do it. But God says, fornicators and adulterers, I will judge. That's God's saying it. So it really doesn't matter whether or not you get found out. God sees. First of all, because of the command of God. Secondly, because of the consequences. Thirdly, because of the compensation. Compensation. Normally my points to my message don't all begin with the same letter, but this time they do. By compensation, I mean that Jesus said that it was better. And for this, I want you to turn to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus is speaking about adultery, and he reiterates the commandment in verse 27. And in verse 28 says that adultery really begins in the heart, and for lack of time, we're going to have to skip that. But he says in verse 29, and if your right eye, and he's talking now about adultery. He says, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to go into hell. Jesus is talking about lust. And what he does is he takes the two parts of the body that are more often than not used in sexual arousal. The first is the eye, particularly for men. Even though we tell women, I'm not sure that they fully understand the extent to which a man can be aroused simply by sight. And then Jesus takes the hand. Women are often stimulated with tender caresses, usually coupled with sweet words. Jesus said, if your eye and your hand are causing you to fall into a pit, that's what the Greek word means. If you find that your eye and your hand are causing you to fall into a pit, Jesus said, do whatever you have to do to be removed from that temptation. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, he isn't speaking literally, is he? He doesn't mean that you should literally pluck out your eye or your hand. No. But what he says is literally true, isn't it? It would be better to arrive in heaven with one hand than to be in hell with two. It would be better to be in heaven with one eye than to be in hell with two. What Jesus is saying is, whatever it is that is causing you to fall into a pit, deal with it drastically. Now I've got to summarize a whole separate message. I give you only the outline. One day I was thinking about what it would be like to have your right hand cut off and your eye cut out, and I came to some conclusions. Let me give them to you. First of all, it would be very painful, very painful. Just imagine without anesthetic, we take someone here in the front row with a sharp knife and poke it into their eye and then turn like this, and that would hurt. It would hurt. Jesus is saying, whatever you've got to do to get rid of sexual sin, do it. Do it.
Well, this is Pastor Luther, and of course, as you can tell, Jesus Christ always gets to the heart of the matter. He has some very hard teaching, but it is teaching that is to our benefit. And we need to explain to the next generation why following God is always best. Well, I have some very exciting news for you. Thanks to the generosity of some of our supporters, during the month of August, any gift that is given will be doubled up to $90,000. Now think about that. That means that your $25 gift becomes $50, $50 becomes $100. Well, you can very easily do the math. What an opportunity to be able to invest in a ministry that, thanks to God, gets the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We are grateful for the fact that Running to Win is heard in 50 different countries in 7 different languages. Would you help us? Would you pray about the possibility of giving a generous gift that will be doubled during the month of August? In a moment, you're going to be given some contact info by which you can get in touch with us. Meanwhile, from my heart to yours, thank you.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Living with Your Passions, a look at the 7th of the 10 Commandments. Next time, more about fighting the temptation to immorality. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.